Hidden in the hills of Northern California, a few miles south of San Francisco, lies Woodside, one of the wealthiest towns in America. It is home to a host of celebrities, including a Western lowland gorilla called Coco, whose life challenges everything we think makes us unique.
Coco's wrinkled face.
Over 40 years ago, Penny Patterson set out to discover if humans and gorillas could ever communicate.
Everyone, when they're a child, has that Dr. Doolittle moment where they think, you know, if only we could talk to animals. And here was a chance.
What began as a PhD to teach sign language to Coco turned into a lifelong relationship.
It seemed like Penny was in love with Coco in the way in which a mother might be in love with a daughter.
News about Coco made headlines across the world.
Coco, who's a particularly intelligent gorilla...
Coco is the subject of the longest ongoing ape language...
But throughout their time together, Penny has had to fight to keep Coco.
The reality that it really would end just didn't enter our minds.
Now, nearly half a century after the project began, the line between humans and apes is being redrawn.
A court in Argentina has ruled that an orangutan can be granted some of the legal rights enjoyed by humans.
What entitles humans to rights that other species of animals aren't entitled to?
With thousands of hours of footage collected over 44 years, does Project Coco finally prove that animals can communicate with humans and even share their deep thoughts and feelings with us?
Maybe these animals are thinking. There's a lot more going on in their heads than maybe we thought.
Or are there some things that will always separate us from our closest relatives?
How human can a gorilla be? What can her brain do like a human can do?
BBC. Coco, the gorilla who talks to people. Coco's sitting on the floor of a room, across the middle of which is a wire wall with an open doorway. Penny comes over to her with a chart.
Now that you have your kitties with you, how are your emotions right now? Coco has emotions.
Coco spends almost every day with Penny. And Ron Cohn, who has filmed ever since Project Coco began.
5, 6, 7, good.
Penny claims that Coco can use over 1,000 words of American Sign Language, and videos of her online regularly get millions of hits.
Coco understands spoken English and uses over 1,000 signs to share her feelings and thoughts.
A giant gorilla with a tiny, tiny, tiny helpless kitten.
It's rare for anyone other than Penny and Ron to get close to Coco herself. But now the BBC has been given unprecedented access to film Coco for a month and open up the archive of her life to see for ourselves how much Coco can really communicate and what daily life is like for the world's most famous gorilla.
Drinks and things? Yeah, yeah.
Penny, what are you planning today?
Oh, Coco's birthday. Yeah. This is a big deal. Coco's born on the 4th of July. So we're just lining up presents and... So did you get the ones in here?
Coco will soon turn 44.
And this is a T-shirt of love. Well, yeah,
although gorillas in the wild rarely reach this age, captive females can live into their 50s. But unlike other gorillas, Coco's birthdays are celebrated with cakes, parties, and presents. It's a life no one could have predicted when it all began.
Rolling back the years from 2015.
Rhoda, good girl!
A variety of clips of Penny and Coco over the years, including film of them hugging and celebrating birthdays. The years roll back to 1971. 1971, baby Coco with her mother, who's fast asleep.
Coco was born to her mother, Jacqueline, in 1971 in San Francisco Zoo.
She's accepted the child, and she's proceeding to raise it. The gorilla population is declining, and I think we're sort of becoming a Noah's Ark.
When Coco was born, Penny and Ron were both students nearby at Stanford University.
I was a graduate student, and we met at one of Penny's friends' parties or something, and I got her phone number. She was definitely the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. I'm sure you won't put that in, but she was.
Penny was a 24-year-old psychology student at Stanford when the field of animal communication was going through a revolution.
Do this, Penny.
1951.
Another sound resembles the letter K. Vicky, sit up, girl. Come on.
Earlier attempts had tried to teach spoken language, for instance, and they can't generate the sounds. They don't have the control of the lips and tongue the way we do. And somebody had the wit to teach sign language, you know, to his chimp, Washoe.
In the 60s, Washoe was raised like a child by husband and wife, Alan and Beatrix Gardner. They claimed she could use 350 signs to communicate.
I had attended a lecture by the Gardners at Stanford and was really interested in that research. I just felt, this is it. This is what I need to do.
For her PhD, Penny had been visiting San Francisco Zoo, searching for an ape she could teach to sign.
We met with the director and asked if we could work with the gorillas. We went to see the family, the zoo family, and Coco was in mom's arms, and she had a sibling who was kind of running around.
Penny asked to work with Coco. But because gorillas in the wild cling to their mothers for the first few months of life, the zoo didn't think it would be fair to take Coco away from her family. But when she was just 6 months old, they were left with no choice.
A black and white photo of a vet listening to baby Coco's chest.
She was rescued one day from death and taken to the medical center for treatment. She had been strapped down so they could keep an IV in place and basically save her life.
She contracted Shigella, which is a serious intestinal parasite. The brother to Coco, Moja, died from it. Coco was in intensive care and she got through it.
The zoo couldn't return Coco to her mother, as they feared the group would treat her as an outsider. So she was hand-reared for the next 6 months in the zoo's nursery.
When I came back to the zoo, the keeper recognized me and said, "Do you want to see Coco?" And I said, "Of course I do." And she's in the children's zoo. And he took me to see her.
A photo of a young Coco by some steps.
That day, that first day that we actually got to see her, she was kind of feisty. She ran around and gave me a nip on the ankle.
Coco with bared teeth.
I think in a few days, Penny started working with Coco in the nursery at the zoo.
A photo of a young Penny and Coco together. Now old film showing Penny holding Coco's hand.
As soon as Penny started teaching sign language to Coco, Ron began to film to document their progress.
I decided that it would be good to focus on three signs: eat, drink, and more. Those would come up a lot during keeping Coco going during the day.
Penny began by molding Coco's hands into different signs, hoping she would start to use them independently.
It happened pretty fast. I guess I was thinking it would take a lot longer or something.
Early on, Coco picked up around one new sign each month.
Penny made little Coco work. But Coco was pretty smart.
Looking behind a mirror.
And soon, Penny had noted Coco combining signs to ask for things.
She combines more and eat.
It was like there really was something sort of miraculous happening. Not quite like stepping on the moon for the first time, but it was that sort of feeling that some sort of bridge had been crossed. Someone really was communicating with an animal, and that animal was communicating back.
I think Coco loved it. A person that was there with her for so many hours at a time. So it was a strong bond to begin with, and certainly Coco was very interested in learning language or anything at that time.
She stacks up boxes to reach a balloon.
I think spending the time together with Coco being a baby, that they bonded the way a mother and a child would bond.
You just don't expect a gorilla to be that way. You know, everybody thinks King Kong, big, stupid, dull-witted, and big and blustery. And she was small and sweet and creative. So it was like raising a kid. She still very much needed to be on the mom at that age.
A photo of her on Penny's back. Coco today behind a wire fence.
More than 40 years on, Coco still lives in the same mobile home she grew up in at the zoo. But as she's grown to nearly 300 pounds, the walls have had to be reinforced and a large outside area added.
So that's how we're going to handle lunch again today.
Whereas wild gorillas will spend hours each day foraging and feeding.
And after three is too late, then we'll do greens.
Coco's meals are cooked by a team of carers, funded through public donations. They also give her vitamins, put on her favorite DVDs, and even wrap her birthday presents.
Lisa Schuster, lead carer.
The idea, being able to communicate in a shared language with someone who is not a human. You're drawn in by that big idea, and then when you meet them, it becomes apparent to you that there is someone inside there that is unique. I don't think you can walk away when you realize that.
Penny now lives just a few miles from Coco, so she can spend time with her almost every day.
At the beginning, before I started, you know, I outlined this project and proposed it to the zoo, and they said, you're not going to leave after like 3 weeks like everybody else, are you? And I said, oh, no, I'll be here at least 4 years.
Penny carries in a box.
Okay.
While Penny drives in and Ron lives on site, it's unusual for anyone other than the two of them to go into Coco's enclosure. But since the crew had started filming, Coco had been keen to meet them.
Okay, you want Johnny to come in?
Okay, you're gonna be good.
Coco signs back, good. Coco pulls open the door of her wire enclosure.
Okay. If you're an animal person, it's like, of course. But if you're not, it's, oh my God, kind of response. Is this real?
You're smelling my hand.
really good.
We want to go into the other room. Go there.
She takes a lot of care and a lot of time, and that doesn't change over time. So we spend as much time almost as we ever did.
Just hit record quickly. There you go.
Coco's staring right into the camera. Now old film of Penny and Coco together.
Coco picked up 80 signs in her first 2 years at the zoo, but distractions from the public were making it difficult to progress further. So Penny asked if she could take Coco with her to Stanford University.
We got the zoo to loan Coco to us. So in 1974, we moved her down to Stanford.
Old film of Penny leading Coco across grass on a lead. Then Coco takes up a position near a sculpture of two primates, mirroring their stance perfectly. Now a photo of Penny and Coco under a sign giving directions to anatomy.
Now that Coco was on campus, Penny could dedicate all of her time to the project. And away from the zoo, Coco's vocabulary increased dramatically.
People tend to learn language at an exponential rate. Hers was slightly different, but she learned fast. I mean, she didn't forget things.
She signs hurry and apple as Penny offers her cut-up fruit.
It was amazing. Every day or every week, some new incredible thing would happen, or new words. She picked them up constantly.
Penny shows her a picture in a book, and she signs, red, cat, sad.
When I first met Coco, I was introduced as a friend, which is a sign made like that. And she saw me, took a really hard look at me, and then signed, please, friend, open, hurry. And I was stunned by this. Both the spontaneity and the clarity of her signing was unlike anything I'd ever seen.
After a year at Stanford, Penny claimed that Coco's vocabulary had more than doubled to nearly 200 words. And news of a talking gorilla was spreading through campus.
I was a student at Stanford, an undergraduate, and a friend of mine said, this woman is doing this amazing thing, teaching sign language to a gorilla. And I was like, you have got to be kidding. Going back as far as you can think, people have tried to know what's the consciousness of an animal. And so to suddenly say, here's a project that's actually operating within that realm is fundamentally fascinating. So I met Penny and Coco. Then I invited them to come up to this ranch here where we are now. She literally first experienced that level of freedom, which is to say running around in a very open, wild place, unconnected by lead or chain or anything else, just nothing on her.
Dale Juracy, former student.
There was something beyond the fact that this was a language experiment, and it was obvious even then.
Old film of Coco bounding across grass after Penny.
It seemed like, you know, Penny was in love with Coco in the way in which a mother might be in love with a daughter. Except, you know, your daughter has the strength of 10 men.
So here's Coco's morning update from Anne. She's having a good morning. She woke up at 9 a.m. She was already moving.
And now, even when she isn't with Coco, Penny receives regular updates from her team.
And she amped it well. Sophia was successful with breakfast. She took 26 ounces of fluid. And she's in a good mood and asking for visitors. Lots of visitors. And she's been asking for BBC visitors.
She said, you want a boy or a girl? And so Coco's kind of boy.
Yeah.
Aha!
she is dissatisfied with the visitors what they are providing and keeps asking for additional
better visitors.
Yes.
The ones with the accents.
She's a mother in every form of the word. I mean, that is her girl. And she's going to make sure that everything that she can possibly do for her is done.
Figure out where Coco is. Oh, there she.
We have a 24-hour camera on Coco. Penny uses that whenever she is not at the research office. She's basically always monitoring and checking in on Coco. When I first started working here, that was what hit me the hardest, is when I'm with Penny here, working here, that's Penny's work time. And when she hits the research office and goes in with Coco, that's her family time. That's her downtime. That's not work anymore. That's hanging out with her daughter, hanging out with Ron. That's the unit.
Lisa Holliday, Penny's personal assistant.
That's new. It's a tickle stick. Good.
They became a family. I mean, Coco, Ron, and Penny are, in every sense of the word, a family.
Thank you, darling. Ooh, this is good. I like it. You wanted Johnny. She wanted you to have it. Okay. Yes, it's a great tickle stick.
Coco relied on them as much as they needed her. And to break that up would have been devastating for not only Penny, but for Coco.
Film of a birthday cake.
Penny's project had become something far more than a PhD. But ultimately, Coco still belonged to San Francisco Zoo.
I guess Coco was on loan. You know, she knew it could end at any time. But the reality that it really would end just didn't enter our minds until it happened.
4 years after the project began, the new director of the zoo was demanding Penny give Coco back.
We, of course, in zoos attempt to treat them as normal animals and leave them as wild as they possibly can be, because that's what I think they should be. That's the way they should be left. And the right thing to do was to take the animal away out of that project and put it in a family of gorillas.
That's typical zoo mentality in those days. They have no clue that these animals had emotions like that, deep emotions. So taking Coco away from Penny was nothing to them.
Gorillas like Coco are endangered in the wild. So some zoos commit to breeding them in captivity.
And that's what they wanted. They wanted Coco back to send her to, I think it was LA, on a breeding loan. But I'm sitting there looking at this project at Stanford going, how can you possibly treat Coco the same way you would just treat any gorilla in any zoo? She's been raised by this human from birth, not like any other gorilla, and she's been doing this language project, and you're going to summarily just say that project's over and she's going to go to a zoo somewhere to get bred? And I was outraged.
The maternal instincts kick in and, you know, not on your life. When something's important, I do what it takes to make it happen. And this was probably the most important thing in my life, and still is.
Penny started a campaign to keep Coco, trying to get enough support to force the zoo to change its mind.
At that time, the zoo belonged to the city of San Francisco. So if we could get to the right sort of people politically, maybe we could do something about it. And in fact, through various connections, we ultimately did get to the mayor, who had a lot of power over the zoo. And we managed to get terms for the acquisition of Coco.
Coco resting her head.
The zoo set a price of $12,500 to buy Coco. But because her species is endangered, it would only let her go if Penny and Ron could find a male as a potential future mate.
And that was their ace in the hole because nobody is allowed to bring gorillas in the country. No one in the zoo community has been able to do it.
The 1973 Endangered Species Act set out to protect animals in their native habitat, preventing the import and export of animals such as gorillas. But those in captivity before 1973 could still be moved. And an animal dealer in Europe was offering a young gorilla for sale on that basis.
We never really knew the origin of Michael. He might have, in fact, been captured in the wild. Maybe his parents were killed. We don't know.
Michael was bought mainly with public donations and shipped from Vienna to California to meet Coco.
We went up to airport, and Michael, he just jumped on me, put his arms around me, and then he sunk his teeth into my shoulder.
Monday, 11 o'clock, we're bringing Mikey in to see Coco for the first time.
We knew that Coco needed a companion. She needed to grow up gorilla as well as in an environment that was more complex. So they had to work things out socially.
The two gorillas chase and play with each other.
Michael had kind of a harsh beginning, but he was adorable. He was just one of the cutest little gorillas I'd ever seen.
Anne Southcombe would look after Michael and try to teach him to sign. And when he was old enough, they hoped he and Coco would mate.
When I first would ride him on my bike, I had a platform, and he would just sit and hold on to my shoulders. We got along really well, and it was like having my own gorilla.
With the arrival of Michael, Penny had finally met the conditions to buy Coco through her newly formed Gorilla Foundation. And before she'd even finished her PhD, she'd suddenly committed to something far bigger than a language experiment.
I have to laugh at myself. I saw a family of people walking down the street, 6 or 7 children, and I thought, oh my God, who would ever want to tie themselves down with that many kids? And then I laughed because a minute later I thought, what am I doing? I've got myself tied down with gorillas. And I just had to laugh because it's the same thing. It may even be more of a burden, but I love every minute of it. If I had a job in a bookstore, I would be doing this on my weekends.
What else have we got that I'm forgetting?
Oh, shoot, yes.
A note says June 15th, 1977, official purchase date of Coco.
It was like raising kids. I'd done enough of that with my younger siblings.
A photo of a young Penny with her little sister.
I sort of grew up being an assistant to my mom, learning everything about the diapers, the bottles, the sterilization in those days. Everything that was done was like second nature. There were enough younger siblings that I did it over and over and over. The youngest brother, he was just a few years old when my mother got cancer.
Penny's preparing food in the kitchen. Now she makes a note.
I came home and helped take care of her. She passed away when I was a freshman in college.
Do you ever want children, Penny?
You know, I sort of did, but then I thought about it.
Coco through the wire fence.
I don't think I was made for it. I think I was made for what I'm doing.
Gorillas rely on strong social bonds, living in groups of up to 30 in the wild. But by the time Coco was 7, she couldn't be further from her kind.
Having an article in National Geographic in 1978 made a big difference. Coco took the picture that's on the cover of the magazine. I think she really got famous after that.
Once the media attention of a signing gorilla got out there, that was the beginnings of this whole thing exploding.
In 1979, 7 years after the project began, Penny published her PhD on the linguistic capabilities of a lowland gorilla, not only claiming that Coco knew over 300 signs, but that she used them to convey deep and complex emotions.
Coco has learned to express a number of feeling states. I routinely ask her how she's feeling in the morning, and some days she says, happy, fine. Other days, sad.
Her abilities to simply recognize herself in a mirror, she is able to point to that image and say, that's me, which indicates consciousness of self. She has this self-consciousness like a person does.
Michael was also making progress with signing. But while Penny's findings were seen as a major breakthrough by the media, there were some scientists who were less convinced.
If you know her and know the context, it's very easy to believe. Penny believes it. I think the public probably believes it. But, you know, tell it to a behavioral scientist and they get apoplectic. And they did get apoplectic.
I believe that Penny Patterson is a overzealous mother who is very proud of her surrogate children and tends very much to project meanings onto those children that may not be apparent to another observer.
Professor Herbert Terrace, lead scientist, Project NIM.
Herb Terrace became the voice of the critics of the experiments, and he had extra credibility because he had done one.
Professor Herbert Terrace of Columbia University had conducted a similar language study with a chimp called Nim.
During the first 3 years of the project, I was convinced that Nim used sign language. In fact, I wrote an article for Science. It was called, Can a Chimpanzee Create a Sentence? And the implication was yes. One day I visited the laboratory and I was watching a videotape that I'd seen many times. And that was the first time I saw how the teacher prompted whatever Nim was signing.
She's asking the chimp, who hug?
When I noticed that there was a simple explanation to Nim signing, namely that he was responding to prompts, it was as if this whole empire collapsed, and that was it. That's the nature of science. You call it as you see it.
Herb went on to criticize Project Coco, arguing Coco was just imitating Penny to get rewards.
He wasn't at the periphery. He wasn't a young graduate student. He was a well-established scientist. And so many people took that as definitive. From the very beginning of these experiments, there was a yawning gap between what you could see what these animals were doing and what you might believe what you have and what you could prove these animals are doing.
Old film of Penny signing with Coco.
Coco's situation tended to leave the strict scientific protocols behind and just were, hey, we have this gorilla that does have sign language facility, no doubt about it.
You form a very close emotional bond. They look at you in the eye just the way a baby does. It's as if you're reading their soul and you're assuming that they understand what you're saying, just as you might with a baby. But the fact of the matter is, apes have no idea about another individual's mind.
There are people who see animals as just wind-up toys, without any consciousness, without any sense of wonder, ability to think or to communicate. And to me, that's a very boring world.
There's no question Penny Patterson has a very powerful relationship with Coco. Whether it's the kind that's going to produce language, that's an entirely different question.
After Herb's findings, parts of the scientific community were turning their backs on the ape language experiments. And with Penny's PhD now finished, Stanford were unwilling to let her remain on campus. The era of the ape language experiments appeared to be coming to an end.
I think it just became harder for people to get funding to do things. You're competing for scarce resources. It's not going to make it easier if one of the eminences of the fields basically said this is nonsense and not worth pursuing. So basically, you had two types of scientists. There were those who would essentially abandon their apes to maintain their ties to the scientific community. And there were those who abandoned their ties to the scientific community to maintain their ties to the apes. And Penny falls into that latter group.
Now Penny's driving.
Penny moved her gorillas to a new home in Woodside, where she has carried on with Project Coco ever since, convinced there is more to an ape's mind than Herb Terrace claimed.
I did actually look at the NIM original tapes. He was signing, but there wasn't one figure for NIM. There were 25 maybe that came and went. It's so difficult because it's based on relationships. It's not just based on, you know, open the cage, new person, feed, ask question. They want to talk with someone they like.
Penny's in the porter cabin with Coco.
Since her PhD, Penny has only published a small proportion of her data. But even now, she and her team make daily notes on Coco's signing. And Ron continues to film everything for their record.
It's a commitment.
Okay.
Because they are like real people.
Being in the market is inherent.
And she's dependent on people for everything. Coco was like a child. She's still like a child that you have to keep all the time. You never leaves home.
If I go get the food ready, and Ron, sit right here with you.
Ron, do you ever wonder what life would have been like if Penny hadn't met Coco? It could have been so different.
I guess it would be today. It's hard to know. I'm 71 now. And that's a long time. I started with Coco when I was 27.
Since the 80s, there have barely been any new attempts to teach an ape to sign. Some of the early experiments continued. But today, the field of animal communication has moved on to how they communicate with each other rather than with humans.
A mother gorilla in the wild with her babies.
But recent studies have suggested that although only Coco and Michael use American Sign Language, gorillas use more than 100 gestures of their own to communicate within their groups.
Refreshments, one for each gorilla, one for Mikey. Can you say drink, Mikey? You can say candy, good. I can help you with drink, okay.
By the time Penny and her gorillas had settled at Woodside, Coco had reached breeding age.
That was good. Then let's leave the glass in one piece.
But Michael was younger.
Michael, you're just arguing a bit obnoxious.
And not yet mature enough to mate.
Coco, calm down. That's enough.
Coco in a jumper, hugging a human baby.
Coco is always wanting to be maternal, even at a young age.
Old film of her signing Coco baby and being handed a doll.
We started by asking her what she wanted for her birthday a while back, and she was always baby. She wanted a real baby, basically. Someone else to love and take care of.
Gorillas nurse their young for up to 3 years, and without offspring of her own, Coco has always been given dolls and toys to play with and nurture.
Hey, come on out, kids.
You can do all the scientific studies in the world, and it doesn't reach the masses. And the public probably doesn't really care if... when was the last time you did a double-blind study? They do care to see a gorilla gently holding a kitten.
A photo of Coco holding a kitten on the cover of National Geographic.
One of our volunteers had discovered a litter of kittens. She was able to just bring them to work, and Coco pointed to one, and then she continued to select that one. His full name was All Ball, and we called him Ball because he looked like one. So she adopted him, and he was just crazy about her.
I think the notion that this immensely powerful animal would be tender towards this very small and helpless little creature sort of captures people's imagination.
Coco sitting with the tiny gray kitten in her lap.
Around 6 months, unbeknownst to us, he started leaving the property. And he was hit by a car on the road. Coco was devastated.
When she was asked, where do you go when you die? She signed, comfortable hole, goodbye. And Penny took that as meaning that she understood.
What happened to Ball?
Have Coco love. An attention visit. He doesn't visit you anymore.
Penny's reports of Coco's grief and search for a new kitten made news around the world.
You tell me what kind of kitty you would like if you get another one.
It looks unbelievable, but Coco the gorilla indicated several weeks ago she was ready for a new friend.
Okay, she's pointing to this one. Cat gorilla have visit, Coco love. Good. She'd like to have another cat visit. Do. Okay.
The world has moved towards Penny's point of view, even if the scientific community doesn't want to acknowledge Penny's point of view. Public opinion is really much more open to animal intelligence than the scientific community.
A 15-stone female gorilla called Coco was given a new baby today, a tiny ginger kitten she'd chosen from a picture.
You know, the media... it was saturated. It was turned into a children's book.
Which was used in schools in 48 of the 50 states. So every third grader would get to read Coco's Kitten. They loved it. We got letters and letters like you wouldn't believe.
Coco with another kitten.
For a time, there was a generation. If you were to say Gorilla Foundation, never heard of it. If you were to say my name, never heard of it. If you were to say Gorilla and Kitten or Coco and Kitten, they had heard of it.
Coco now was a very famous gorilla. It's not like the days at Stanford when she could walk around unrecognized. Coco is she's been on the cover of National Geographic magazine twice.
Would you sign your name? That's better. That's much better. That's very good.
Coco was now known the world over. But in her lifetime, two-thirds of Western Lowland gorillas had died out.
Okay, now would you like to do some coloring?
And fame was turning coloring. Coco into an ambassador for the plight of a species she'd barely met.
Coco, color. Tell me what you want me to do.
Coco with William Shatner, then Isabella Rossellini.
Where is he?
He's inside.
Does she understand when you speak?
Oh, yeah.
Now Sting and Leonardo DiCaprio have come to visit.
Being in the media made it much easier to raise money to support the project.
Oh, she wants to see nipples.
I learned that in order to keep it going, to grow, you need to continue to work with the media.
Robin Williams with Coco.
The high public profile helped her gain some funding. But you choose a path, you have to keep doing it. And you have to keep going year after year after year.
Coco became the most famous gorilla in the world. She had her own range of toys, and even her own credit card. But her life was moving further and further away from that of a gorilla in its natural environment.
There's a good side and a bad side, obviously, to branding an animal. Nothing's black and white. I think the good side is she's raised a lot of awareness for gorillas. People might not care about gorillas if it wasn't for what they've learned through Coco. But Coco really was born in captivity, so she has never seen a gorilla group and gorillas that had to survive as gorillas, so.
A gorilla in the wild beats its chest. Now Coco feebly beating her chest.
The thing she's missing is just being a gorilla.
We were looking forward to Coco having a family of her own.
Coco hugs a teddy.
Baby.
She points to herself, then holds the teddy close.
You were playing nicely with the baby.
Wild gorillas usually begin to reproduce around the age of 10, and every 4 years after that. But by the time Coco was 20, she still had not mated with Michael, her childhood companion.
One of us asked her, why don't you want to mate with Michael? And the fact is that she considered Michael a brother. And gorilla females do have an incest taboo.
Penny made it her mission to try to find a new mate for Coco.
We're going to put on a videotape. You know how to do that? You got it out of the case. Good. Now where do we put it?
Even showing her videos of potential suitors from zoos around the world.
The gorilla.
Coco kisses the screen.
Kiss him.
I went to zoo meetings and I made a plea for a gorilla family and they just kind of laughed me off the stage. But one of them took pity on me and said, well, I have a male gorilla.
Driving through fog in 1991.
Cincinnati Zoo agreed to loan a male called Ndume to the Gorilla Foundation. And he was flown to California with the hope he would mate with Coco.
And finally to America, where it's claimed a famous gorilla called Coco has found a new mate through video dating.
Okay, here it comes.
Coco and Ndume's first meeting. Coco peers into the enclosure.
You can go in, Coco.
Coco takes a step closer to the entrance and peers inside, then sits back. Then she looks in through the bars. Finally, Ndume comes running out. He chases Coco around her enclosure. Now the two are about 5 feet apart. They move slowly, staring at each other. Then they stop, just a couple of feet apart. Coco moves away.
Just having Coco raised by a human from birth, and then a gorilla brought in from wherever, doesn't automatically mean you're going to get a baby.
Ndume climbs the wire walls of the enclosure and sits on a platform.
I don't know who Coco identifies with. I don't know who she daydreams about. I would expect that as a female, she'd want to have a baby of some sort. But she might be a little confused about with whom.
Another day, and the sun beats down on the enclosure as the two gorillas continue to eye each other up.
She knows she's a gorilla, and she does like Indumi. But she likes people, too. So she's like in both worlds.
Coco and Ndume have never produced offspring.
Look, this is the one Coco licked.
But Penny still hasn't given up hope that Coco can have a family with
him.
That's
the one. That's the one. Okay, so Coco wants to have a gorilla family.
That's still her biggest wish.
And she would like to have a baby to raise. She pointed to that one. She pointed to that one, I think.
That would give her a focus. She'd be a lovely mother.
Feeding through the wire fence.
Ndume still lives at the Gorilla Foundation.
Yeah, I know.
But Michael has passed away.
Okay.
And now, when Penny isn't there, Coco always has a carer with her during the day.
But who?
Coco makes kissing motions with her lips.
And you'll have a visit soon, yeah.
But she doesn't often see new people. That's and had been asking for a visit from the crew.
Hi, Coco. How are you?
Very happy, huh?
Oh, you're in a good mood.
About this setup.
Coco's unbuttoning his shirt.
Oh, it's my shirt coming down. There you go.
What you doing in there, Coco?
Checking it out.
Are you working me out?
Coco, you're tickling him.
Okay. Coco, you don't like people touching you. You have to be the same.
Tickles, tickles, and more tickles.
So you've had a nice day, Coco. Is there anything you regret, Penny?
Giving Coco a baby, you know, providing a family. I think that's her regret. Yeah. She wants to be a mom.
Penny looks tearful.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you.
Coco's 44th birthday.
Thank you, Coco.
You feel very conscious that this wasn't Coco's choice.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't. It was mine. It was an opportunity that, it was just amazing. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, the best thing for her. You know, she'd be more fulfilled if we had been successful building a family group here.
Yeah.
Yay!
She's blown out the candles on her cake.
It may never be possible to establish with certainty just how much Coco can communicate with humans. But her life continues to challenge just what it is that makes humans distinct from other animals.
I think we're living in a different world than the world that prevailed at the point at which these experiments got going. It was a world where really animals did not get the benefit of the doubt in terms of acknowledging that maybe they might have higher mental abilities. And then think of where we are today. It's an entirely different world.
Now, in what's thought to be a legal first, a US animal rights group is calling on a New York court to recognize a chimpanzee as a legal person.
Where the line is drawn between humans and other apes has been at the heart of Project Coco since it began.
A court in Argentina has ruled that an orangutan can be granted some of the legal rights enjoyed by humans.
And now, what separates us from our closest relatives is being argued in the courts, with some campaigning for apes to be treated as individuals with rights of their own.
There's an ongoing question about whether we should keep an intelligent great ape in captivity. Is it fair for Coco to be somewhat isolated from other apes? I think that ship sailed so many years ago that you can't go back.
Video footage of Penny and Coco over the years.
I think Project Coco shows, you know, these are sensitive animals. They're highly intelligent animals. And you can't just dump them in a cage and leave them there.
Gorilla?
We evolve as a species and we do get more compassionate. And we are becoming more compassionate. Anything that opens the eyes of humans that these animals feel and think and love life is a plus, you know, to make us a more compassionate species.
Outside, Coco opens the door of a battered old red car.
Remember that old car?
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's disgusting.
I wouldn't want every gorilla to be a signing human gorilla. But boy, I'm glad she's here and the dedication Penny has. It's something that'll never happen again.
Whatever it is, it's not a good idea.
There's something special about gorillas being gorillas. But there's also something very special about Coco.
Film of Penny and Coco walking away together through the trees.
Want to climb up there?
She's not a pet. You know, she's an individual person with their own ability to communicate and feelings and all those things. The statistics and when she learned what 100 words to 1,000 words, nobody's going to really remember that. And it's not going to change their behavior.
Old film of Coco and Penny walking through the trees together.
But the fact that Coco can love, that we can love each other even though we're different species, really gets people thinking deeply about life. And that's what we need to do.